Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is truth heareth my voice.
Well, our topic now is the matter of being of the truth. Of the truth. This expression is used at least four times in the scripture. And Sister Allie just read our primary text, which I'll read it again. Pilate therefore saith unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's a wonderful declaration that the Lord has made there. You know, as already has been stated, there are other affirmations. You know, like Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, right? So this is that's one. When we think about hearing Christ's voice, we think about those that are his sheep. And we think about his voice being life-giving. Remember, the ones that heard the voice of the Son of God, they were actually raised from the dead, right? They were raised both in a first fruit sense, and then also in the resurrection at the last day. Those that hear his voice are going to come forth from the graves, right? So every one of those, that's but hearing his voice. So when we think about hearing Christ's voice, we want to think about those words of the scripture to interpret. You know, let those be interpreters of what actually is involved in hearing his voice. See, we can say, well, it resonates in our hearts, and it certainly does. His thoughts, his mind, and his thoughts resonate in our hearts, But I think your new creature latches on to what this is all about. See, you want to know, your new creature wants to know absolutely that you hear his voice. See, my sheep hear my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, if you will search this out. See, you search this out and you will come at the right conclusion. See, you'll actually know of a certainty that you're one of the ones that hear his voice. Everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. And then we have this other another affirmation in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. I have written unto you, not because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's good theology. Whatever you think about that affirmation, that's good theology. That's something you want to get those thoughts down into your heart and mind. You know, there's no lies of the truth. Absolutely, no lie. No lie is of the truth. No lie. Satan might say, well, some lies. This little lie might be of the truth. No lie is of the truth. No lie. No lie is of the truth. And then we have this word in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. And hereby know we that we are of the truth. It's good. We've got to, sooner or later, you've got to come to the point where you know that you're of the truth, right? And we shall assure our hearts before him. So let's just think about this. This matter of knowing that we are of the truth is something that you don't want to take for granted. This is something that must be proved. It must be proved by your faith. You must search this. I don't mean that you're searching for answers. That's not what I mean. But see, this is something that's constant. This is in a constant state of demonstration, before God and before angels, you know, but this is something that's actually continually being proved to your own spirit. So you want to have this confirmation on a daily basis. See, you don't want to just assume, well, I remember when the Lord said this to me 2 years ago. You know, you want this has to be up to date. This knowing that you're of the truth has to be something that's up to date. Today, you know that you're of the truth. And provision is made so we can know that it's of the truth. So let's think about this. I quote this verse almost every time that I preach now, but you know this 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28? He said, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." See now, if we have confidence now, we'll have confidence then. So this word of the apostle is actually bringing us up to date with the coming of the Lord. See, you have confidence now, you're confident now, you'll be confident then when he appears. See, so that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. See? And then this final word here, Demetrius hath good report of all men. This is in 3 John, Brother Nathaniel, 3 John chapter 12, or verse 12. So, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. It's good to have good report of the truth, see? Good report of all men and good report of the truth. Good report of the truth, of the truth itself. He hath Demetrius. Demetrius hath good report of the truth itself. Now, in the scripture, truth speaks of a fundamental reality and actuality. It is a declaration of reality of the things that really are. Truth is characteristically a faithful representation of all things. Truth is also a commodity in which those that are of the truth traffic, and with which they buy and sell in the sense spoken of in Revelation 13, 17. Truth has fellowship with light, and it feels and ministers to such things as faith and true understanding. Truth nourishes the purged conscience. Truth. See, when we talk about the truth, we're talking about the truth that's in Christ Jesus. See, so we're not talking about truth in general. We're talking about truth that in the scripture. When we talk about truth, we're talking about the truth of the gospel, right? We're talking about the truth of this revelation that God has made in his beloved Son. So actually, truth has the effect of purging your conscience, of persuading you that you are one of the sons of God, that you are of the elect. See, truth has this effect. See, as it's when it's received through sanctification and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. In this present world, both light, truth and light stand alone, both opposing and being opposed on every hand. In this present world, truth implies that there is an environment of opposition, where the lie and liars raise their ugly heads on every hand. Thus, we can see that the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, has its work cut out for it. Because we're in an environment of the lie. Each one of you are part of this church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. We're not talking about us like a sect. We're not talking about like a denomination. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the called out assembly. We're talking about that. See, you are the custodian. We are by God's grace, we've been given the custodianship of the truth. We are custodians of the truth, right? So we're the pillar and the ground of the truth. See, the truth, see, God has actually placed it into our hands. See, so he's actually committed it to us, not just to those in this room, but to wherever the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is loved in sincerity and truth. See, so truth has no fellowship with darkness. It has no fellowship with the realm of darkness. No fellowship. Truth can also be described as verity, trueness, and is also associated with such things as trustability, trustworthiness. Think about that when we think about the truth. See, it's that we're talking about something that's trustworthy. We talk about the truth that's in Christ. This is a trustworthy revelation. This is a trustworthy word. See, we're talking about something that's trustworthy. You can just lay all your whole being right on it, on what God has said. See, so this is the, and it's credibility and honesty. Truth is a quintessential characteristic of God's own person, of His Son, of His Spirit, of His Word, of His law, of the execution of His works, and of His salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. See, truth is an expression of that. Now, let's just, I want to just make a comment here. And I was looking in Webster's dictionary about definitions of truth, but I just happened, one of the definitions was the Christian Science definition where they say truth is God. I'll just show you, that's a lie. See, that's a misrepresentation of things. See, truth is not God. Truth is not God, but God is the God of truth. See what I'm saying? So we need to talk, we don't need to think in terms of, we want to think in terms of how the Scripture says it. See, you're always safe. We're always safe if we think about precisely how the Scripture says it. See, so God is the God of truth. See, He's the God of truth. Now, God is not truth. See, God is not truth. He's the God of truth. Now, the truth is an integral part of His person. See, it's the quintessential. It's the most essential part of His person. But see, the person takes preeminence over this. You see what I'm saying? So God, you understand what I'm saying? God is preeminent, see? Christ is preeminent, see? But Christ is the truth. He is the truth, but we wouldn't say that the truth is Christ. See, that's, you see what I'm saying? We're saying that His person, Christ's person, identifies what the truth is. Christ, He said, I am the truth. You see what I'm saying? I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. See, we're talking about the truth of the gospel. We're not talking about the truth of mathematics. We're not talking about the truth of history. We're not talking, which, you see what I'm saying? We're talking about the truth that has bearing on everlasting life, things that are eternal, things that are related to God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about. The truth pertains to that body of reality. That's what we're talking about when we talk about truth. God is a God of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the embodiment of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. God's Word is truth. His law is the truth. That's what the Scripture says. His law is the truth, right? That's Psalm 119, 142. And all His commandments are done in truth. I'm sorry, all His commandments are truth and all of His works are done in truth. See, everything related to God is either of the truth or it's done in truth. See, so, or it's an expression of truth. Can you see what I'm saying? It's rooted in truth. See, it's rooted, but truth, the truth has its origin in God Himself. See, God doesn't have its origin in truth. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. See, God, everything originates in God Himself, the God that's revealed in the Scripture. We're talking about that God. We're talking about that God, the one that's revealed in the words of the Scriptures. See, now everything originates from His person. Everything proceeds from His person. See, so in a time of trouble, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, cried out to the Lord, O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy, hear me in the truth of Thy salvation. Think about salvation in connection with truth. And then those who have trusted in Christ have done so after they heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. And God hath from the beginning chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. We're going to talk about that in a little while. Here's some descriptors of those who are of the truth. Those who are of the truth hear Jesus' voice, evidencing that they are Jesus' sheep. Those who are of the truth believe the truth. Those who are of the truth have acknowledged and yet do continually, consistently acknowledge the truth. Those who are of the truth have received the knowledge of the truth, and therefore they know the truth. Those who are of the truth have received the love of the truth. Those who are of the truth are part of the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. They testify of the truth. They know the way of truth. They serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. They have an intrinsic aversion to the lie because of their identity with the truth. See, they're averse to the lie, as no lie is of the truth. They have a good report of the truth. They have God's word abiding in them. They commend themselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God by the manifestation of the truth. They have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Such ones, they shall endure unto the end, those that are of the truth. And in summary, such ones know the truth, believe the truth, acknowledge the truth, speak the truth, seek the truth, plead for the truth, are valiant for the truth. Amen. Now, some characteristics of those who are of the truth. Such ones have found Jesus to be precisely who he has declared himself to be. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And they found it to be so. They found Jesus to, that's just precisely the way he is. They found him to be so. That's just the, yes, Lord, that's just the way you are. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And they found it to be so. They found him to be so. He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." And they found him to be so. The Lord Jesus Christ is that living bread. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me," Jesus said, "shall never thirst." See, so, and they found him be so. That's a true declaration, brethren. That's precisely the way Jesus is. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And they found it to be so. See, this is something that's proved in the present time. See, we have everlasting life. We have passed from death unto life. See, we have. They shall not be condemned. See, these such ones shall not. See, and we know in our hearts. We're assured. We have assurance in our hearts. See, that he's assured us. See, knowing the truth assures you of these things. See, we're assured of these things. We're not just taking it. It's not just like we're taking it at face value. Or we do. We take it just as Jesus said it. But see, we actually have come into the reality of these things. Now, praying for the ones that the Father had given him, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. And then in John 17:19, he said, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth." Now, I want you to think about this. Now, but these things are all working together, this matter of being sanctified by the truth. See, think about yourself as being sanctified by the truth. See, he said, "Now, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." See? Now, here, but see, there's more involved in it than that. Just more than just a pronouncement of God's word, although that's involved. See, but he said, "Therefore, I sanctify myself." See, Christ sanctifying himself and being sent into the world, see, to lay down his life a ransom for many. See, we're sanctified through the truth, because he sanctified himself. You see what I'm saying? He said, "Therefore, I sanct." John 17:19. Just look it up if I'm confusing the thought a little bit here. But 17:19. See, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. So let's think about that. We have a manifold sanctification that characterizes those who are of the truth. They are sanctified by the word, by the truth, the word of God. They are sanctified as a direct result of Christ sanctifying them. And they are sanctified by the Holy Spirit and by the belief of the truth. See, so now this sanctification, when God sanctifies a person, it's not, he doesn't zap them. That's not the right word to use. I apologize for that. He doesn't just come overpower them. See, God doesn't just overpower people when he sanctifies them. See, he actually, through sanctification and belief of the truth. See, he's actually working with men's hearts, with their understanding. It's through sanctification. The Holy Spirit, see, he ministers understanding. He doesn't just give feelings. He just doesn't give you a good feeling. He actually ministers understanding to your heart. So you actually understand these things. You actually come into the reality of these things. See, so through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. These things are wedded together. Sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. They're like inseparable. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. The Holy Spirit sets men apart unto God. And unto salvation, not by merely imposing himself upon men, but working together with their understanding and belief of the truth. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. That's quoting from Isaiah 54. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father, cometh unto me. So here, we've talked about this before, but you consider, I'm asking you personally, you know, you've come to consider that Jesus is precious to you. Amen. God taught you that. See, God taught you that. You didn't learn that from a book. God taught you that. If you value Jesus the way God does, God taught you that. They shall all be taught of God. That's the manner of God's teaching. That's what he teaches. See, he doesn't teach catechism. See, when God teaches, he doesn't just teach facts. See, he teaches the richness of the facts. See, he actually opens up what's involved in what things that were not apparent before. See, but so he opens up the preciousness of his Son. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that hath sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him." See there, you see the Son? You see him in the sense that, you see him? He said, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But so everyone that seeth the Son, in that sense, you see him. You see him by faith. See? So there's a sense in which we don't see him, right? Though now we see him not, right? But there's a sense in which we do see him. We see him by faith. With the eye of faith, we do see him, see? Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. You want to latch on to that. See, everyone which seeth the Son, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. They that are of the truth, know the truth, believe the truth, acknowledge the truth, speak the truth. I think we've already said that. They that are of the truth have found it to be so, that a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto victory. Or in the Matthew 12 text, he says he shall bring forth judgment Well, in the Isaiah text, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And in the Matthew text, he says he shall bring forth judgment unto victory. I love that word. Bring forth. I'll tell you, you've been in some difficult places. I'll tell you, Jesus is able to bring forth judgment unto victory. He'd bring forth judgment unto victory. See, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, right? So even our faith. So now think about this. Think about this word of the prophet Isaiah. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now think about this. When truth is fallen in the street, as it is today, when truth faileth, we're talking about when it's not widely received among men. There have been times, even in our childhood, I can remember times when the truth was received more readily than it is now. But see, but now it's there's almost a total rejection of God, of the truth. See, so now think about this. When truth is fallen in the street, and when truth faileth, those who are of the truth are brought into a condition of vulnerability and made to suffer simply by reason of truth being fallen in the street. You're so wedded to the truth, see, that when truth is fallen in the street, see what you suffer from it too. See what I'm saying? You can't help but if you see what I'm saying, you can't help but suffer from this as well. You in your conflicts that you have with your relatives and associates and things of this sort. See, you with the world in general. See, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and when truth prospers, those who are of the truth prosper in the same sense. I don't mean prosper in the sense of gaining wealth. I mean prosper in the sense that the truth prospers. You prosper. You flourish in your spirit. See, you actually triumph. Like the revelation of the first. You know, the first. Remember in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, the first seal was opened, and the horseman that went forth on the white horse, remember, was triumphing, right? So conquering and to conquer, right? But that's when truth is prospering, see? So when truth fails, as in the case in our day, those who are of the truth are made to be a prey by reason of their consequent departure from evil. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. See? Put yourself in a vulnerable position. Like Joseph did. Remember Joseph when he fled from Potiphar's wife. Those who are of the truth have chosen the way of truth. Of the wicked it is declared that the way of truth they have not known. And those who are of the truth serve God in simplicity and in truth. And they desire truth in the inward parts. So I'll tell you, you want not only to have to be approved of men, we want to have the approval of the brethren, you know, but that's not the primary thing we're seeking for. We want to have truth in the inward parts. If you can have truth in the inward parts, see, you will be victorious. See, we've got to have truth in the inward parts. In the inward parts, right? So, the Lord is nigh unto them. That call upon him in truth. And they that are of the truth call upon the Lord in truth. They that are of the truth live in joyous anticipation of the Lord's return and even of God's judging the world in righteousness and the people with his truth. See, we live in anticipation of that, not in dread of that. We want our lives to be, you know, we're judging nothing before the time, but until the Lord comes. See, and when he's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. See, and then shall every man have praise of God. So, we're looking forward to that day. You know, even the spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, those who are of the truth have something that the world cannot receive. Do you ever think about that? You've got something, you possess something that the world can't receive. And those who are of the truth characteristically testify of Christ. As Jesus said that he shall not testify of himself, he shall testify of me. And hereby know we that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Whether one is of the truth must not be taken for granted or assumed. It is certainly something that can be known, but that must be continually proved. So I guess in closing, I want to say, go back to this word about Demetrius. And I want you to each think about yourself inserting your own name there instead of Demetrius. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. May it be said of Rodney that he hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Amen. And Sister Susan, she hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. See, and we could go right, Sister Mary, that she had good report of all men and of the truth itself. See, we go right down the line. See, except for if we had more time, we would. But see, you just think about your own name being put in there. See, Brother Rhett hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. See, so anyhow, we think about that. See, think about that. See, we want that by the grace of God to be said of us as well. So I commit those words to you, brethren. Brother Dan.
I see as you were working through this, the word itself is kind of harder to find by sitting on a shelf. You know, you like the dictionary. But when you see the word in action, and particularly in Christ, and something that he said, now we can take a hold of it.
Amen.
Think about it.
Amen.
Because when you, like when you were reading the scriptures of things Jesus said, it was illustrating it higher.
Amen. You know, Brother Mike?
Started out, one of the points when you started out making, that you have to search the truth every day. And it made me think that today, if you hear his voice,
they
search the scriptures daily to see if they were true. You see all of these, you had to go out and gather the manna every day, his mercy is new every day. All of these things is a daily walk with God. It's not that time will change the truth. But you have to keep up on the truth by looking in and seeing. And as you mature in the truth and the truth of the gospel, then God will reveal more to you.
Yes. Amen.
It's a growing process.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A daily walk with him.
Amen.
We have to give more earnest heed to the things we can observe. Because at any time we should let them slip.
Amen.
It's an up-to-date thing. I appreciated that thought. We have to be up-to-date with the truth.
Amen. Amen. Today, after so long a time, he saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Right? Today. Well, thank you, brethren.